I'm going to talk tonight on a subject that is most worthy of your attention. It will not be a great sermon, but it'll be one of the nerve center truths of the Bible. And you will, if you listen tonight, learn one of the great secrets to spirituality. I want to speak tonight on the subject, the good man versus the spiritual man. I'm not going to preach tonight about the carnal man. I'm not going to preach tonight about the sinful man. I'm going to preach tonight about the good man versus the spiritual man. Before I read just a verse or two and before I pray, I want to say this, and I hope you won't take this wrongly. Most of the people in this room tonight are good people. Most of the men in this room tonight are honorable men. But being honorable does not make you spiritual. And being a good man, as men count goodness, does not make you spiritual. There are very few fundamentalists who are spiritual. There are millions of fundamentalists who are good, solid people. Honest, respectable, solid people. But I believe there's some of you who would be spiritual if you knew how to be spiritual. And I'm going to tell you tonight the difference between the good man and the spiritual man. You need not turn to it, but I want to read again a little bit that a while ago. Paul said, "O wretched man that I am." I want you to notice the word "that I am." "O wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me?" Now this is one of the keys, "from the body of this death." Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body?" Don't forget that word, that term, "the body of this death." Didn't say, "Who shall deliver me from this death?" "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He didn't say, "O wretched thing that I've done." He said, "O wretched man that I am." Father, bless tonight what goes forth from this pulpit. Bless the people. May they listen carefully. And may I have a mind that's alert and a tongue that is able to explain this truth adequately tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Most of the people in this room tonight are good people. Now follow me very, very carefully, please. Not because I need you to follow me carefully, but because you need to follow me carefully. Most of the people in this room tonight are good, solid, honest, respectable, honorable, decent people. A few people in this room tonight, and I mean a few percentage-wise, are spiritual people. Now, what is the difference between the good man, and when I say man, it applies to women, of course, too. What is the difference between the good man and the spiritual man? I want to give you three differences tonight. I want you to follow me with your mind very, very carefully. Difference number one, the good man and the spiritual man have a different attitude towards self and sin. Now, wait a minute. The good man hates sin as much as the spiritual man. The good man hates to sin as much as the spiritual man. The good man wants victory over sins as much as the spiritual man. Then wherein lies the difference between the good man and the spiritual man? I'm going to give you several little differences, and some of these are almost different ways to express the same thing. Now concerning this matter of sin and self, the good man hurts at doing wrong. The spiritual man hurts at being wrong. The good man hurts when he commits a sin. Wrong, the doing of wrong, is distasteful to him, and the good man hurts when he's done wrong. The spiritual man, however, not only hurts when he does wrong, he hurts between the doing of wrong, or the doings of wrong, because it hurts him to be wrong. You see, the good man hurts because of what he does. The spiritual man hurts because of what he is. The good man hurts because of the deed. The spiritual man hurts because of the source of that deed. The good man, when he does wrong, will make it right. Boy, I want you to get this so badly, I want to just put it in little bitty pieces and let you, like you get a dog and hold it in his mouth, he swallows it. The good man, will, when he does wrong, will make it right. The good man, if he's wronged you, will restore to you what is rightly yours. The good man will apologize to you. The good man, I'm talking about the upright man. I'm talking about the honest man, the honorable man. He wants to come to a correction of his evil and of his wrong. And he will do that. If he wrongs you, he's willing to say, I'm sorry. He's willing to make whatever restitution is necessary. He's a good man. He's an honorable man. An upright man, a just man, and an honest man. That's the good man. Now, the spiritual man, see, now, let me underline it again. The good man wants to correct it so he can be right. But the spiritual man never feels that he's right. Are you following me? Anybody out there listening to me? The good man wants to correct his wrong and come to a position of correction. But the spiritual man never feels like he's correct. For he never feels that he is what he ought to be. The good man will say, I have done a wrong, and I am going to rise to the place of right again. The spiritual man says, I have done a wrong that comes from the source, which is wicked, and I realize there's nothing good in me, and I will never come to the place to where I believe that my wrong has been rectified. Again, the good man is sorry for what he's done. He's sorry for what he's done when he's done wrong. The spiritual man is sorry for what he is. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying that the good, and most of us are in the first group. We want to do right. We want somehow, now hear me carefully on this, we want somehow to feel in ourselves that we have become righteous again. So we'll go to any measure to make ourselves feel that we have made proper restitution and that the equation is balanced. But the spiritual man knows that even though he corrects what he has done that is evil, the source is still there. He knows that the heart is still desperately wicked. Consequently, the spiritual man cannot come to the place where he thinks he has balanced the equation. Because to him, he does not see what he does. He sees what he, only what he does. He sees what he is. And there's no correction of the cesspool of sin in the human heart. So the spiritual man is constantly feeling guilt. I get so sick and tired of these people that call themselves fundamentalists now, putting out these little stupid psychology books on on the get away from your guilt feeling. All poppycock, hogwash, and foolishness. The more you walk with God, the more you realize how guilty you are in the sight of God all the time. Get off your guilt trip. Brother, if you walk with God, you'll always be on a guilt trip. You'll always realize your hands and mine and your sins and mine. Put Jesus on the cross of Christ. I'm so sick and tired of these little paperback book writers these days. They're writing all these little books on psychology and trying to find some scriptures to go with them. The honest, simple truth is, a good man comes to a place in his life where he says, I have done wrong, I'll rectify that wrong, and I'll make it right, and I'll balance the equation. But the spiritual man says, there's no good in me. Oh, wretched man that I am. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He didn't say, oh, wretched thing that I've done. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Why? What he was is what grieved him as well as what he's done. And the spiritual man, when you have rectified what you're doing that's wrong, and yet you realize that you still are what you should not be, you still have that source and potential of doing again what you did, and it's the source that's sin as well as the act that's the sin. Boy, that's good. The difference in the good man and the spiritual man. Again, a difference. The good man wants to do differently in the future. And he will. He will. He will walk guard around his life. And if he makes a mistake, he's sorry for it. He'll come down the altar and he'll ask God to forgive him for what he's done. And he'll do better in the future. But the spiritual man, the good man, wants to do differently in the future. But the spiritual man wants to be differently in the future. The good man will continue doing wrong, but every time he does wrong, he'll get up and dust himself off. But the spiritual man is not content with that. He's not content until God's Holy Spirit gets down into the source of sin and works on the source of sin, because he is as guilty and feels as convicted about what he is as much as about what he does. Now, don't you see what I'm saying is the difference in the good man and the spiritual man? Let me ask you a question. Which are you? Which are you? The good man will walk down the aisle, get right with God, walk back and feel better. The spiritual man will walk down the aisle, get on his knees, ask God to forgive him, walk back and feel worse. You know why? Because he walks down and as he gets close to God, he sees himself as compared to God and sees what he is compared to what he is. And what he is burdens him down as much as what he's done. By the way, I'm not condemning good men. Thank God for good men. If all the good men got up and walked out tonight, we wouldn't have a corporal's quorum here. I'm for good men. I'd like to reach out to some of you good people, though, and I'd like to work on making you spiritual people. I'd like you to be concerned about being wrong as much as you are about doing wrong. I'd like you to be concerned about the source of wrong as much as about the expression of that source of that wrong. Another dual statement. A good man wants to be a just man. Now hear me carefully. A good man wants to be a just man. Now why? So he can come to a place where he realizes he has succeeded in justice. Now, I believe in justice with all my heart. I use that word justice over and over and over again, and I believe in it. But a good man wants to, listen to me. A good man wants to arrive at a place to where he feels he has succeeded in turning from his sin, and that justice has been met, and that he has succeeded. Now, a spiritual man wants to be like Jesus. So he never thinks he's succeeded. Folks, when you get to a place where you think you've succeeded in turning from sin, then you will not ever turn from any more sin. And if all you do is turn from what you have done, you will do it again and again and again. Why don't you go back to the source of the supply? Why don't you go back to what you are and get what you are right, and that'll do more to correct the wrong that you do. But if you simply come and every time you sin, chop that sin off and get right and go back and say, God's forgive me, and He will, and that's good, and you're a good man. But wait a minute. How about that heart that's still desperately wicked? It's still there. How about the Scripture that says there's none that doeth good, no, not one? How about the Scripture that saith there's none righteous, no, not one? They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. The poison of asps is under their lips. With their mouths and tongues they've used deceit. The great difference between the good people in this room and the spiritual people in this room is that the good people in this room want to do good as much as the spiritual people do, but when the turning from good is over, there's a certain kind of, that takes care of that. But the spiritual man, when he asks God to forgive him for a deed, realizes his forgiveness is not yet over. Because there is what he is to be cared for after he cares for what he's done, what he does. Another statement. The good man compares himself with what he ought to be and sets out to be that. The spiritual man compares himself to Jesus and realizes he can never be that. And you will not continue to grow until you get dissatisfied with yourself. The good man is self-satisfied. And don't leave me, I'm going to go down to some very practical things after a while. The good man does good, wants to do it, he comes to the altar. He kneels at the altar. He asks God to forgive him for what he's done. Right beside him, there's a spiritual man that's asking God to forgive him for what he is. For if you can be what you ought to be, you'll do what you ought to do. And if you can become what God wants you to be, you'll do what God wants you to do. But the good man says, I want to be what I ought to be. And the spiritual man says, I want to be what Jesus is or was. And so the good man can reach his goal, and the spiritual man never reaches his goal. That's why the good man can have pride and the spiritual man will never have pride. That's why the good man will criticize somebody else that is doing what he has done, but he got forgiveness for it, and he criticized somebody else who is not now doing what he's doing, where the spiritual man will not criticize somebody else because he is what the other guy's doing. You understand that? I'm saying that if I have the AIDS virus in me that is not active, I do not have the right to criticize you because you have active AIDS. If I'm carrying tuberculosis in me, or as the old story about Typhoid Mary, the little lady never had typhoid, but she spread it. If I am carrying, what word do I want? You have leukemia and it's now been what? In remission, right. All right. The good people tonight in this room only do not, are not doing wrong actively because you, wrong is in remission. But you still got it. You'll never conquer sin till you awake in His likeness. So you have sin. You have, and by the way, you have every sin that man can commit inside here right now. Right now. Consequently, if you have it inside here and are not at this time doing it, if you're a good man, you'll find yourself criticizing a fella who is now doing what you have in here but are not doing. But if you are a spiritual man, you will say, but for the grace of God, there go I.
And I will not criticize him, because what he's done, I have right in here. And what he's done, I am perfectly capable of doing myself. Another comparison between the good man and the spiritual man. The good man obeys a rule, wants to be like it. The spiritual man obeys a ruler and wants to be like him. The good man can reach his goal because he wants to do good. But he cannot, but the spiritual man cannot reach his goal because he wants to be good. And nobody here can be good. The Bible says, our righteousness is like filthy rags. Now, if my goodness is bad, if I'm spiritual, I realize I'm not good. That's why Paul said, O wretched man that I am. That's why Paul said, I am chief of sinners. That's why Isaiah said, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. That's why David said, my sin is ever before me. That's why Paul said, O wretched man that I am. Listen, you will never be spiritual if you're good. Because when you get to a place where you think you've got it licked, that's when you are not spiritual, because you no longer can improve. If all you do is forsake your sins, you'll never be spiritual. You've got to get as concerned about the sin as the sins, about the source as its manifestation. That means the good man can reach his goal. The good man can say, I want to do this thus and so. The good man can say, I want to get forgiven for the committing of that sin. And he can come to the place where he says, I believe I'm forgiven and I have reached my goal. But the spiritual man says, that's not my goal. I'm not just concerned about stopping the doing of that thing, but I'm concerned about going down deeper and finding out what made me do that. And I want to find out what caused the committing of that sin. Till I find out what caused it and can cure that. That's why the psalmist says, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. No spiritual man thinks he's spiritual. No spiritual man thinks he's arrived. Why? Because he's comparing himself to Jesus and not his own goal for himself. Consequently, you'll never arrive. Follow me again. The good man is concerned about the deed. The spiritual man's concerned about the source. Follow me again. The good man is burdened for his lost father. The good man is burdened for his lost mother. The good man is burdened for his lost son. The good man is burdened for his lost daughter. The good man is burdened for his lost best friend. Now, how about the spiritual man? He's burdened for the lost. The lost. The good man says, I want everybody I love to go to heaven. And the spiritual man says, I want everybody to go to heaven. The good man weeps. And by the way, I'm not condemning a good man. I recommend it. I'm trying to get good people to go beyond that and get spiritual. The good man says, I don't want my wife to go to hell. The good woman says, I don't want my husband to go to hell. The good man says, I don't want my son to go to hell. I don't want my daughter to go to hell. But the spiritual man looks at an area like Chicago and says, I don't want this great area to go to hell. Now I want to pivot to a second thought tonight. I've said the difference in a good man and a spiritual man is the different attitude towards self and sin. And I said the good man hurts at doing wrong. The spiritual man hurts at being wrong. I said the good man will make it right, restore and apologize and correct it. The spiritual man will do that, but still not be satisfied because of the source not being corrected yet. I said the good man will be sorry for what he's done. The spiritual man will be sorry for what he is. I said the good man wants to do differently, and the spiritual man wants to be different. I've said the good man wants to be a just man, but the spiritual man wants to be like Jesus. I've said the good man compares himself to what he ought to be and sets out to be that. The spiritual man wants to be like Jesus is and realizes he can never be that, but he wants to try. I said the good man obeys a rule and the spiritual man obeys a ruler. I said the good man can reach his goal of turning from his sins, but the spiritual man will never reach his goal because he'll never conquer his sin till he awakes in the likeness of Christ. I've said the good man is burdened for his lost loved ones and friends. The spiritual man is burdened for a lost world. I've said a good man is concerned about the deed. A spiritual man is concerned about the source. Now, number two. Not only is there a difference in the different attitude toward self and sin, but there's a different attitude toward repentance. Now, follow me. The good man repents of a sin and resolves not to repeat it. The spiritual man repents of the nature that causes it. Now, here's the interesting thing. To the good man, repentance is an act to be done when needed. To the spiritual man, repentance is a state to always be done. You listening to me? You hearing me? Are you good or spiritual? To the good man, I've done wrong. I now need to repent. To the spiritual man, I'm always wrong. I always need to repent. So the good man, repentance is a deed done when needed. To the spiritual man, it's a state to always be done. Good men will look at people that are always at this altar and criticize them. I'm not saying everybody that comes to this altar is always repenting. But I'm saying that good men will criticize men who... What's he repenting for? Hadn't he got forgiveness for that sin? Listen to me. Brother, the bad part about you is not what you've done. The bad part about you is what you are. You're desperately wicked. And so am I. You are rotten to the core. And so am I. And for you, every time the volcano erupts, for you to work on that eruption of the volcano, and then to think you're okay because you cannot see its eruption, overlooks the fact that down inside of your heart there's a boiling inferno all the time. And every sin that anybody has ever committed is in you now. That's what it means in Galatians chapter 6. It talks about how to treat someone overtaken in a fault. It says, consider yourself, lest you be overtaken in a fault. What's God saying? God is saying, listen, the biggest whoremonger in this city has no more adultery in his heart than everybody on this platform tonight. Now you listen to me. And you're not going to grow in grace till you get rotten in your own sight. And you'll not get rotten in your own sight until you transfer your repentance from what you do to what you are. Don't misunderstand me. When you commit a sin, you ought to ask God to forgive you for that sin and take care of that sin. I'm simply saying that doesn't end it. Another observation. True repentance. I'm sorry. The good man wants forgiveness. The spiritual man wants purifying. Sometime when you have time, not now, but when you have time, read the 51st Psalm. Half of that psalm deals with the sin that David committed. And the other half of that psalm deals with the heart that caused David to commit it. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying you shouldn't confess a sin and forsake a sin and repent of a sin. I'm saying you ought to, but it doesn't stop there for the spiritual man. Now listen carefully. I can tell a few funny stories and get you with me, but listen carefully. I'm not going to do it tonight. David said, I've sinned against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this horrible thing in thy sight. When David got that cared for and forgiven, David did not stop. David went on and dealt with the source that caused him to do what he did with Bathsheba and Uriah. Why? Because David was a spiritual man. And one of the tragedies is, we simply want to balance the equation. We want to make, to justify our action, pay for our action, balance the books, and then say, thank God, I'm forgiven, walk back to my seat, a forgiven man, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. It just doesn't go far enough. If you want to get spiritual, you've got to realize that the same sinner that walked down the aisle is a sinner when he walked back down the aisle. The difference is you walk down the aisle committing sin and back up the aisle possessing sin. You walk down the aisle, you walk down the aisle to quit what you have done. When you walk back up the aisle, you need to ask God to forgive you for what you are. Now there's a third difference. I said in the first place, the difference between a good man and a spiritual man is a different attitude toward self and sin. I said in the second place, the difference in a good man and a spiritual man is the difference in an attitude toward repentance. Now you listen to me now. The difference between a good man and a spiritual man, thirdly and lastly, is this. Is their attitude toward others in sin. A good man has little patience with others who are doing wrong. Because he only sees the doing of the wrong and not the being of the wrong. He's concerned about the actions, not about the heart. The good man says, we are different. I have not done that wrong. The spiritual man says, we're the same, for I am wrong. The good man has little patience with people who are committing some sins. And I started to say awful sin, but there's no sin that's not awful sin. The good man looks at somebody committing the sins that he's not committing and has little patience with them. The spiritual man looks at himself and says, I am exactly like you are. And there is not a person in this room tonight who does not have deceit in his heart, who does not have stealing in his heart, who does not have adultery in his heart, who does not have hatred in his heart, who does not have murder in his heart. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. It is desperately sinful. I'm talking about your heart. The best heart in this room tonight is as rotten as Satan himself. Now the good man says, I don't do that. He shouldn't either. The spiritual man says, thank God I haven't done it, but I got it inside and then I got to watch it all the time, lest I'll do it. Pharisees are made out of good men. I didn't say good men are all Pharisees. I didn't say that. Because many good men are not Pharisees. But Pharisees are made from good men. You can't make a Pharisee out of a spiritual man. Because a spiritual man won't look down on anybody. Because a spiritual man sees what he is and not what he does. And sees the source and not just the deed. So he realizes that he's better than nobody. He can look down on nobody. For the only difference in him and the fellow that did the awful sin is the fellow that did it, it burst forth, but the volcano is still in his own breast as much as in the breast of the fellow whose volcano erupted. To the good man, sin is a bad mark on his good. Did you hear what I said? to the good man, sin bothers him because it has marred his good. His white record has a spot on it. I must get it erased. To the spiritual man, he has no white record, except the one that was given to him, imputed to him, when he put his faith in Christ, and God imputed to him his own righteousness. And to the spiritual man, the good man says, sin is a bad mark on my good record. The spiritual man says, I am no good, and my sin is a result of my bad. You understand what I'm saying tonight? I'm putting my finger tonight on the difference in fundamental Christians and fundamental Christians. I'm putting my finger tonight on why you're not spiritual. Because you're concerned about what you do only and not what you are. And when you get your do straightened out, you better work on your are. And you're not a good Christian because all the do's are straightened out. And you'll never get all the R's straightened out, and that's why a person who is a spiritual person can keep on growing in grace. Because he can never get to the place to where he's totally corrected. What he does can get corrected. He can quit cussing, but he can't take the cursing out of his heart. He can quit immorality, but he can't take the lust out of his heart. And the disease is simply arrested for a while, or in remission for a while. Now that's the difference. In this room tonight, we have a lot of splendid people. Splendid people. And I tell you, I'm not about to criticize you. I'm not criticizing the good man. Not at all. I thank God for him. But in case you ever want to have a graduate course in being a Christian, you get the place to where you never get to the place where you're at the place, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And that's when you become patient with people who are not what they ought to be. No, hold it. You become patient with people that do not do what they ought to do because you're not what you ought to be. Now, let me say this, and I'm almost finished. Do you know, until you get to the place to where you're just as dissatisfied with your being wrong as you are with their doing wrong, you won't understand what I'm talking about. And everybody here is being wrong tonight. You're not doing wrong tonight because you can't do wrong and sleep at the same time. But you're not doing wrong tonight. You are being wrong. And many, many a dear Christian could have been used for God if he had gotten in a crowd of spiritual people instead of a crowd of good people. Because the crowd of good people looked down on him and said, look what you've done, you dirty dog, you. And the spiritual people said, I can't look down on you because I'm not what I ought to be. And you've just done what's on the inside of me anyway. Don't you sit there and look at me like a pious prude. You're not so hot. No, you're not. And there's nobody in this room who is good enough to criticize somebody who does bad. Nobody. Until you are what you ought to be, which is like him, you have no right to criticize anybody who's done what you are. You have no right to criticize anybody who speaks what you think. None at all. And herein, ladies and gentlemen, our fundamental churches are packed with good people. I mean that. Good, honest, upright people. I'll tell you what. My Bible never says that a good man pleases God. My Bible does say that a contrite heart pleases God. My Bible never speaks about God being pleased with good people. My Bible speaks about God being pleased with contrite people. A contrite heart He will not despise. That's what God wants. How do you keep a contrite heart? You keep a contrite heart by always looking at what you are as well as at what you do. And when you have gotten the victory over what you do, you don't say, well, blessed be God, woo! I've gotten the victory. Oh, no, you haven't gotten the victory.
That's like taking a glass of water out of a septic tank and purifying it in your hands and drinking it. Septic tank is still there. And you may get purified as far as the expression is concerned of what's in the heart, but if you awaken God's likeness, you will never be set, you will never be purified in your heart. But you can be more purified, and you can grow in grace and be more in His likeness, but you'll not do it until you're dissatisfied with more than what you do. Now look at me. I have never tasted liquor. But I've got inside of me the same thing that folks have that have. I have never lived a wicked kind of a philandering nightclub, drinking, smoking, cursing kind of a life. Never done that. But did you ever notice that all of a sudden, sometimes the best people in the church all of a sudden just go haywire? I'm thinking about three or four men right now. I talked to their wives this morning. All of a sudden, this guy that has sat here in this church, who loves me, who gave his tithes and offerings, who's a respectable fella, all of a sudden he's out in a cesspool of sin. Why? I'll tell you why. Because when he got to where he had got victory over what he does, he was not guarding what he is. David said, O wretched man that I am. He did not say, O wretched deed that I've done. So I ask you a question. Are you a good man, a good person, or a spiritual person? I've given you several different statements to define the criteria between the two. Spiritual people never make Pharisees. Spiritual people never run down others because of what they do. Good people do. Because, now follow me, good people honestly and sincerely feel they have the victory. Because they want to feel that way. So if they have the victory, then they can certainly look down on someone that doesn't have the victory. Brother, if you're a spiritual person and compare yourself to Jesus and realize the source of your wickedness is still there. Everybody in this room tonight has a case of adultery in remission. Everybody in this room tonight has a case of thievery in remission. Everybody in this room tonight has a case of drunkenness in remission. And brother, if you've got a case in remission, you don't go around criticizing people that got an active case, because you realize you're just one bad day from having an active case yourself. And what do? Brother, you do everything the doctor says. Keep that thing in remission. And you're so busy working on what you are, you haven't got time to work on what other people are doing. I'm not saying that doing bad is all right. I'm saying doing bad is wicked. And you ought to forsake it. And you ought to ask God to forgive you. And you ought to repent of doing bad. But when you've repented of doing bad, you're not through yet. You still are bad. And when that hurts you as much as doing bad, you're about to become a spiritual Christian. Father, bless the message tonight. Somehow burn into the hearts of our people, some of them at least, this marvelous truth of the comparison of the good man and the spiritual man. And help some good people. Now thank God for them. But help some good people to cross the line tonight. The being concerned not only about what we do, but what we are. Not just concerned about our unsaved moms and dads and brothers and sisters and friends and uncles and aunts and grandparents. Concerned about a world that's plunging toward the fires of hell. Make us spiritual.